Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Several times in the last couple weeks, my wife and I have had this discussion about, had we been school children and had coronavirus come around when we were young, going to elementary school or junior high or even high school, and we'd heard the announcement that school was being let out, canceled for the rest of the year, we would have considered that the greatest news we'd ever heard. But should we, whether we're parents of school children or not, be concerned about the closing of the school, what it might mean not only for our children and their education, but maybe long-term for our economy and our tax base? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about the impact of coronavirus on our children, Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist and author of the book, The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled Studies, American Kids Will Lose an Entire Grade in Math from Shutdowns. Joy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So I imagine that school children, when they heard that their school was going to be closed, just thought that was the best thing ever. But why should all of us be concerned, even if these school closings may be necessary?
Well, I honestly am not that sure about the kids. I mean, so for example, my own kids, of course, they love to be having less work to do, but also the uncertainty and the shifts in their schedule really has led to a lot of kind of transitional emotional problems in my house. I've been hearing that from other parents, you know, too. So that there's that aspect. But of course, for the long-term aspect, what we're looking at here is nearly all of the nation's public schools and even governors, and I think all of the governors have also closed private schools. And, you know, all the social distancing regulations are closing, not homeschooling, but any homeschooling co-ops and groups. So almost, you know, every kid in the nation is getting reduced schooling, at least right now. And, you know, the people who did the shutdowns, the governors, think that there are good justifications for that because of the public health issues. But I'm not sure that they have really considered the long-term ramifications, you know, which include, according to a number of studies, like you mentioned, just in math, American kids losing up to a full year. And that's because, generally speaking, you know, we already know that over the summer, the about 3 months of summer vacation, kids on average lose 2 to 3 months of their schooling from the previous year. So when you make that summer break from, you know, 3 months to 6 months, in most cases, you're just wiping out the entire last school year that they've done.
You have observed a late March Gallup poll found that 59% of American parents were either not too concerned or not concerned at all about the negative effects of the school shutdowns on their children's education. Why do you think this is?
Well, I'm sure there's lots of reasons for that. I mean, one of them is just at that point of the polling, we were a week or two, depending on what state you live in, into the shutdowns, you know, so it wasn't seen, I'm sure, as a significant effect on the kids yet. And, you know, we hadn't seen really any numbers to establish the worries that we had. So we were still hearing numbers of several million Americans being affected and dying, you know. So when you compare that to a couple of weeks, it seems like a worthy trade-off. So, but now on the timeline, you know, we're a month later, and this stir craziness is increasing, you know, as far as I can tell from talking to other parents. And a lot of parents have been dissatisfied with what their school districts have come up with for the kids to be trying to, you know, to kind of pinch hit in this time as many schools are closed, even for the rest of the school year. So I think there's growing dissatisfaction with the level of intermediate kind of help for kids that parents are getting, as well as we're just not seeing, you know, the numbers of harmed people that we were promised. And so the trade-off doesn't look as good as it did, you know, all we had to go on were projections.
You say that the closings, and you mentioned this a moment ago, but go into a little more detail, the closings could leave many students a year or more behind in their learning trajectory. How so?
Well, that's because, I mean, of course, I mean, so a lot of kids are already, just when they are in normal school, you know, all the time, they're already behind. 30 to 40% of kids, you know, if you just look at a basic bell curve, they're going to be, you know, behind the rest of their class average. And so, of course, there's more vulnerable kids, you know, often they have many, you know, things going on at home. You know, maybe they, you know, lost a parent, there's, you know, single parent situation, maybe the home life is not very good, so on and so forth. And there's increasing numbers of single, divorced, and otherwise struggling parents in America, and this shutdown isn't helping at all by cutting out a source of income for at least 20 to 30 million Americans, as far as we know right now. So all of those factors, those background factors, are already pressuring the education of kids. And so that, coupled with the fact that the American public school system has a track record of basically once a kid falls behind, he or she never catches up. I hate to say that. I do not want that to be the case for these needy kids. They need it to not be the case, but that is just the reality of American public education. It's very bad at remedial education. So the reality is that we're taking away crucial education, you know, for millions of kids who don't have any better alternatives. And it's really important for their, I mean, I don't like putting everything only in economic terms, but it is true that, you know, for example, math achievement is directly tied to economic productivity. And so, I mean, if American kids could just get up a third to a half of a grade more of math in their 12 years of K-12, then our nation could erase its trillions of dollars in unfunded liabilities for programs like Social Security and Medicare. So we're talking about not just money, but also a better quality of life and, you know, help for the poor of America, as well as brighter future for kids. So we're sacrificing all of that right now, again, for based on projections that are turning out to be wildly, wildly off. And again, it's very unlikely that most American kids are going to recover from this. So it means long-term economic, lifelong, you know, many generations of negative effects for our country because of the decisions that we're making now to shut down schools.
What people may picture in their minds that's going on at home with these grade school or junior high or high school age kids, all in home rather than in school, is that they're getting a bunch of assignments, they're interacting on Zoom with their mm-hmm. teachers and their classmates, and it's a very intensive day of being provided to them. What's really happening in most school districts during the shutdown?
Some schools are doing a really great job of doing the best they can in these circumstances. But as far as we can tell, you know, based on initial reporting and surveys of public schools, the consistency of education is the exception rather than the rule. So surveys of large public school districts, for example, and as well as teachers, show that, for example, in the 2 weeks of the shutdown, the majority of teachers hadn't spoken with their students, you know, for 2 weeks after school was let out. Surveys also showed that among major school districts, only something, I think it was, you know, 15 to 20% of them were actually providing both curriculum and instruction to their students. And mostly what public schools seem to be doing is, at best, is posting kind of a list of online resources and letting parents figure it out. And that's just, I mean, so no real in-person teaching is going on, no tutoring, no kind of checking in to make sure that the kids are moving forward as well as they can be. So so things are pretty bad, you know, just to put it lightly. Basically, the kids have been let out of school in many instances and aren't really doing anything to fill in any gaps.
We're talking about the effect on our children of school closings during coronavirus. Joy Pullman is our guest. She's managing editor of The Federalist. When we come back, we'll talk about the greater context of American students being unprepared even before the closings were put in place. Stay tuned. I've written a column for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology.
the free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Since 1978, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Ministries and her workers. Thanks to faithful investors, LCEF has provided thousands of church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations with the low-cost loans and resources they need to reach more people with the saving name of Christ. To learn more, visit lcef.org or call 800-843-5233, 800-843-5233.
Your church Easter egg hunt has been cancelled, but that doesn't mean there aren't wonderful treasures to be discovered at Ad Crucem. Celebrate your child's confirmation with Lutheran certificates, necklaces, and memory boxes, and wish all your loved ones a joyous, if socially distanced, Eastertide with our Christ-focused greeting cards. Put what you believe, teach, and confess on display with our Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, and Athanasian Creed. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our guest is Joy Pullman, author of The Education Evasion. Objections to the Resurrection is the theme for the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. It contains columns by Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Adam Francisco, Gregory Lockwood, John Bombaro, and Gene Edward Veith. The Lutheran Witness is available in print and online. Find out more at cph.org/witness. Interpreting the Contemporary World from a Lutheran Perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine, cph.org/witness. So you mentioned some of this before, Joy, but talk about the greater context of American students being underserved and underprepared even before the closings were put in place.
Yeah, I mean, the United States has been going through what they call education, quote-unquote, reform cycles since the 1950s, at least, in fact, before. I know that. I've taken education history classes. So basically, Americans have been subject to all, you know, repeated promises to do better, that some new initiative is going to finally solve the problem. And they all rest on the fact that American kids in general really don't do as well as they ought to do. And in fact, the research really shows that the average public school does not improve a child's education beyond what he or she already could have been predicted to achieve just based on his parents' education levels and income. So our school system is notoriously ineffective, and we're just talking about academics there. You know, as a Christian, it's very clear that schools are notoriously ineffective at conveying the deepest moral and, you know, religious values that we have to our kids. And in fact, their effect on kids is typically in the opposite of pushing them away from faith. So, and this was, of course, all pre-pandemic, you know, before American kids losing half to a whole grade level of learning over these school shutdowns, which is only, of course, going to compound all of the pre-existing problems that schools have that we've known about for a very long time.
You mentioned earlier something about kids who fall behind in our system don't catch up because of poor remedial education. What usually happens when a child falls behind their classmates, or maybe in this case now, entire classes falling behind classes in the rest of the world?
The painful truth is that American kids, when they fall behind, are still passed along from grade to grade. And there, I've spoken with numerous teachers, as well as lots of reports will say this. The teachers are pressured to just pass children so that their school doesn't look bad on state and federal measurement metrics of the schools. And so the kids end up at high school graduation. A third of them are functionally illiterate. That means they can barely, they can just barely sound out words. We're talking kids who graduate. A quarter to a third of them are at that level of reading. That is not, needless to say, graduation level reading capability. And only 85% of American kids actually graduate. So we have about a third of our country who are, you know, as adults, who come of age, able to vote. Hopefully they're getting a job and they're functionally illiterate. And that is just basic, you know, decoding literacy. We're not even talking about the lack of knowledge that they have about our country's system of governance, you know, about any personal finance things, any way of, you know, making their way in the world competently is just not transmitted to so many American kids. And again, this is, schools have a lot of pressure to, you know, based on the fact that basically they're really not accountable to parents. They're accountable, poorly accountable to politicians, whoever controls, you know, their funding stream. And that is not moms and dads who really would never put up with that with their kids. But moms and dads don't get to control whether, and they often can't tell, you know, how badly their child is doing until the child gets really advanced and the problem is very severe. It's hard to tell if your child is getting a good reading education or falling behind until he's already 10 years old and he can't read, you know, or he's 9, 10 years old and he can't do higher level math because he wasn't taught basic math. You know, the problems come out when the kids get big, but the problem started in kindergarten, first grade, second grade. So again, that's a problem that's going to be compounded here. All the weaknesses of our system they're having pressure put on them with this situation. And again, it's going to end in American kids really being harmed and being treated in a really unfair and unjust way by adults who should know better and should be stewarding their lives and their parents' resources and taxpayer dollars much better than we are.
Will the possibility of an increase in homeschooling be something of a silver lining to the school shutdowns?
I think absolutely that is the case, because I've spoken with lots of parents who are looking at what their kids are getting from what they think is a good, you know, they've chosen houses to pay for schools through their mortgage, you know, and they're paying more for that house to get their kid, to get their kid into this school district. And then they're seeing that this well-rated school district, you know, is sending their kids basically busy work, confusing, you know, politicized things home to their kids. And again, this isn't everywhere. This is not every single school district and classroom, but this is many of them. And a lot of the parents are saying, I can do better than this. And they're also frustrated with the fact that knowing they could do better than this, but still their kids for this school year, grades, you know, may be tied to all of this make work that are frustrating parents and getting in the way of what they really want to do with their kids. So I think, especially since we don't know if our governors will even, you know, reopen or might close schools in the fall if there's another wave of increase in virus transmissions. So with that kind of uncertainty and with that kind of discontent spreading among parents, it seems very likely that homeschooling will be more of something that they might choose in the next school year rather than have it kind of thrown upon them, because that way they get to control what's happening with their kids and they can make it a lot better.
Finally, with about a minute, you say a better K-12 education for half the cost is not a bone to toss voters. It's a critical necessity, and the feds shouldn't bail out any state that refuses to provide this lifeline for the good of taxpayers today and tomorrow. What do you mean by that, Joy?
Well, what I mean by that is something we haven't even talked about, and we don't even have numbers for right now, but is going to be really atrocious and a very significant effect, is the effect of these economic shutdowns on state and local tax revenue. And usually the biggest thing in any state budget is spending on education. And so all of these shutdowns are depriving states of billions, trillions of dollars in tax revenue that usually is going to go to public schools. And so they're going to have huge fiscal crises coming up for states to deal with in the next several years as a result. And so that's going to put pressure on them to find ways to deliver, you know, better education at less cost. And really the only way to do that is through school choice. And that means letting parents control the kids' education dollars. All of these programs cost less than half of what taxpayers spend to educate children. They direct children to education options that actually are good at remedial and non-remedial education. They're better than the current system. It's proven over and over by all the, you know, very high quality research. And so, I mean, it really is not, it's not a moral imperative, but it's going to be a fiscal imperative for states in, you know, the aftershocks of the financial crises that we're creating, to be able to give parents better education for less money for taxpayers. They won't have very many good options, and school choice is maybe one of the only good ones. So if they're wise, they'll take that route and help their kids while providing less pain to their taxpayers.
Joey Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist and author of the book The Education Invasion and a recent column titled Studies, American Kids Will Lose an Entire Grade in Math from Shutdowns. You can read Joy's columns and purchase The Education Invasion at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Joy, thank you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series, The Words of Scripture, talking with Pastor Will Wheaton about patience in the Bible, and we'll discuss media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. On Thursday, Pastor Paul McCain will lead us in a teaching on law and gospel in the Solid Declaration of the Formula of Concord. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.